Welcome to the Spin Axis Podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins.
A few years ago, I had a Twitter thread where I talked about what it means to be a good student. A good student taking lessons from a golf instructor. And we're going to talk about some of the topics and things that I posted. Number one, just to start it right off, be open to change.
Yeah, I think every student that walks into a lesson, let's just say it's their first lesson ever, right? For a lot of people, it's sort of nerve-wracking. It's intimidating. I think the almost the number one quality, if you want to get the most out of the lesson, is you've got to walk in with an open mind and a willingness to change what it is you're doing, because you are there for a reason to get better. If you want to get better, you're going to have to change something.
Whenever I get a new student in, it is always like all right, here's what we got to work on. Here's your root cause of your biggest fault that we want to sort out so you can play your best golf. Now, that means sometimes that there's a big change that needs to go in there and you need to be uncomfortable with a couple new movements, because for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, you might have made some poor movements, but have just barely got away with it. And when you don't get away with it, that's where those bad shots happen, that you're like, all right, I hate my right miss. Okay, well, right miss is happening because of this, so we need to do this instead of that. And you got to have the willingness to change a couple things sometimes for you to get rid of that big, big miss.
Yeah, you're there for a reason. It's to get better. Better is a change. Number two on my list, be willing to put in some work. Be willing to work.
Yeah, and most students, I would give them props for majority of them. They want to work. They just don't know how sometimes to do it. And I would say that this falls a little bit onto the coach. It goes like, okay, well, I want you to do this move in front of a mirror 3 times a day, you know. And sometimes I just say, you just need to do that move. And they're like, well, how much? I'm like, as much as you possibly can. I'll often joke about this with my daughter, because she's that 14-year-old teenager that just rolls her eyes whenever I do any golf movement in the house. But if you walk in front of a mirror, do the move. And you walk in front of your TV and it's turned off and you get a reflection yourself, do that move. You get in front of your microwave and it's got a reflection, you should do that move. You can't do that enough and exaggerate it enough until it doesn't feel like an exaggeration anymore. It just starts feeling like, oh, that is your pattern.
Yeah, I love that stuff, Jason. I always ask a player, especially in a first lesson, right? Once you get to know them, you sort of understand this. But I always ask a player in a first lesson, are you somebody who will go hit balls at a range? And it's a very common answer that I'll get. Well, I would like to, but I feel like I waste my time because I don't know what to do, right? So to your point, I think most people want to work. And I think our job as a coach is to get them excited about actually having a plan to go to the range and do the work. And when they're excited about it, they will go do the work.
Yeah.
Right. When they have a plan and they know what to do, they're going to go work. To your point, I give a lot of people props. Most people want to do the work. They just don't know what to do. And that's why they were there for the lesson in the first place.
Yeah.
One of the signs in my academy says motivation comes and goes. It's about discipline. Discipline gets you where you want to go. So that feeds into the work thing. The motivation will come and go. You really need to have the discipline, though, to make yourself put in the work. The third thing, ask good and relevant questions.
I say it all the time. I think the best students are the students who don't just stare at you. They come in with questions, or if you ask them to do something, they will ask a question, you know, whether it's why or what is that going to cause? And I'll say this a lot to people. I love so many of my, again, not to stereotype, but my female junior golfers. I literally have multiple junior female golfers that will come in with a note card every single lesson. Here's my questions that I have, and here are the things that I want to work on and talk about today. It's like, how much more can you ask from a coach perspective? You can't ask for more out of a student than that.
Yeah, and same thing with my online students. Often before we have a online lesson, I'll get a text from them. Hey, here are the things that have been sort of, you know, bothering me. I've been thinking about, am I doing this properly? Can we just cover a couple of these things? Because if you don't have the thought process of what's happening through your swing, through your game, yeah, you can get lost in, what is it, the forest through the trees type thing. You should have a clear path of, all right, you know, for instance, the last live lesson I had with this guy, he's like, why are we changing my swing? And I was like, okay, well, are you still hitting duck hooks? Yes, I'm hitting duck hooks. Okay, so your face is too close that impact. And it's too close because of something earlier in your swing. We are trying to change that earlier thing in your swing so you don't have to try and just absolutely like save and hold the face off through impact because you're still hitting duck hooks. He's like, okay, perfect. Sounds good. I'm still in. I'm all the way in, right? And if he just went, and shook his head, and then as soon as the lesson's over, he just goes back into whatever pattern he was doing, he's not going to buy in. And in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, he's going to give up and he's just going to go back into his old pattern and stick with that and never be happy with his golf game.
Right. I think one of the words that's important in that ask good and relevant questions, though, is relevant. We've all had the guy at the end of the lesson who goes, okay, but what about my chipping? Buddy, we just worked on your driver for 52 minutes. Let's save that for another time. Anyway, this is an easy one. Be on time and take care of payment. That's more of a, it has nothing to do with getting better at golf. It's just gets you on the right foot.
Yeah, being on time is important. Like in the military, it was, you're there 15 minutes early or you're late.
Right.
I'll be the first to say my family is notorious for being late. And so I try to be that at least 5 minutes early just because most of the time the rest of my family is always late. And yeah, I love them, but they're that buddy that you tell them the tee time's at 1 and it's really at 1:30 and he still shows up on time.
Yeah, I think being on time is a really big thing for me. I'm the guy that is a half hour early. Like I cannot stand to be late for anything I do. And I think I'll tell my players, you know, again, going back to a couple of items ago, the discipline, right? The discipline of being on time shows that you really are invested in what you're about to do. In today's world, as far as the payment goes, most of the people that I'm working with are paying online. Hopefully that's done before. It's always difficult when you're working with a lot of people. Did they pay? Did they not pay? That's why online stuff is awesome.
Yeah. And if you're early, warm up.
Yes.
Right. That's what it's there for. That way you're not warming up for the first 15 minutes of your lesson time. So
yeah.
The next thing on my list, be clear about your expectations and your ability to practice.
Yeah, and I think this is a big one for the recreational golfer, right? What is your ability to practice? And, you know, then my job is to help them understand what realistic expectations look like for their ability to put the work in or their ability to practice. And I think most people start with great intentions and then life happens and most people are family oriented, working every day, and that's going to change throughout a golf season.
I'll go a little harder on some golfers this way than I normally would. You need to find the time.
Love that.
The amount of ice of the students that I have that I ask them, like, okay, how much are you practicing? They're like, I go to the range like once a week. I'm like, okay, do you have a backyard? Like, yep. I'm like, do you have grass or you can put a mat in the backyard? And they're like, yeah, but I don't really want to spend too much on a really expensive mat. Okay, for sure. Go on Amazon, buy a $25 mat and you can hang a bed sheet and hit foam balls into that. And you can practice every day for 15 minutes, you know, after you come home from work or in between when the kids get to bed and the sun doesn't go down. You can find time. If you can sit down on your phone and scroll social medias, you should have been hitting golf balls. It's a choice that you made. And if you are really wanting to get the best you possibly can, you gotta make that time. You gotta find every minute in the day. Just like working out, if you don't go do it, you won't do it. And I can't remember the exact stat, but it's something like takes 30 days to create a habit, and that's all it is. It's just gonna be a habit to go hit balls 10 minutes after work, 10 minutes before you go to work. But once it's in there, it's there. You just need to start. This episode is brought to you by the Fit for Golf app. And in my mind, and a lot of tour players, it's the number one fitness golf app. Mike Carroll has put together the best workout routines for you so that you can work on getting stronger, healthier, and of course, fitter, both at home with bands or at the gym with all the machines. He's got you covered. So you can hit the ball further, lower your scores, and play your best golf for years to come. Use code SPINAXIS to get 20% off your subscription. Your body and your golf game will thank you.
Yep. Number 6, don't say that you want to be more consistent.
This is my favorite. I almost every new student that come in, and I do the TPI, Greg Rose, Genie, 3 wishes, and it 90% of the time, consistency. I want to be consistent. I go, perfect. I'll just teach you how to hit the ball out of bounds every single time, and you'll be super consistent. And they go, wait a second. And I go, oh, no, you said you want to be consistent. Like, job's done. And they go, okay, hold on, that's not what I meant. So, yeah, come with what you want. I want to hit my driver in play. I want to stop slicing it. I want to stop topping it. You need to be more specific on what you want.
And I say, this is simple for me. I say, you don't want to be more consistent. You want to be better, period.
Yep. Number seven, slow down.
Yeah. Again, I think, you know, change is hard. And when you're changing a movement pattern, it's even harder. And the faster you go, the more your brain is just going to want to move how you've already learned how to move. So if you want to change, you've got to slow down. And that starts with the swing. That starts with your mental process, everything. Slow down.
I always joke about this with new students, especially if we're trying to do a brand new move. Hey, can you go to the driving range and hit 50 balls and you hit them so slowly that you can pick them up because they only went like 5-10 feet in front of you? And you put them back in your bucket, you can hit those 50 balls again.
Yeah, I'll skip ahead to number 10 because it's kind of relevant to this. Be patient. So slow down, be patient now.
It is a big movement pattern change at full speed. If you do have, if it's not just something easy where it's like, oh yeah, your takeaway is just a little too inside, a little too outside, or your grip's a little too strong, a little too weak, or your ball position's in a bad spot. Those are pretty easy fix. Set up backswings are usually pretty easy to like get going. Outside that, you know, bigger movement pattern changes, it takes some time, right? Just like we talked about, slowing it down is going to be a big one so that you can speed it up and then feel and groove those patterns. But you know, what is it? Rome wasn't built in a day. Your golf swing isn't going to be built in a week, if not a month. It might take longer than that. And you got to be comfortable knowing that it is going to take some time.
And I think, again, in the world we live in today, I think patience is continuing to be something harder and harder for us just as humans to practice. And so, you know, people come, we have all this technology, we can really get to root causes much faster. So they think that the change is going to be easy. Well, changes are going to be easy. There's a lot of patience that's needed while you're slowing down and doing all the other stuff. Patience is massive.
Yeah, the next one, be yourself.
Again, I think, you know, golf is a reflection of who you are. It's a one-person sport, if you will, even though if you're playing on a team, you're still, it's an individual sport. I never want to take or change an athlete just as far as their personality. So always want you to be yourself. If you're upbeat all the time, I want you to be upbeat on the golf course or in the practice session or when you're with me. If you're more level-headed, then I want you to be whoever you are. Never try to change who you are as you're going through the process.
Yeah, and just enjoy it.
Yeah,
it's still a game. Most of us pay to be there. We've got to enjoy it.
Yeah, and be yourself. Express, if you're frustrated with something, say that. If you don't understand something, say that. Be yourself. You have to be, you're the one paying for the lesson. So be yourself and be who you are and let the instructor work with that person, not who you think you should be outside of doing the stuff on this list.
I love that, Eric.
Number 10, Jason, have a growth mindset. A lot of people come in, they do not have a growth mindset.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough one for a lot of people that are stuck in their ways. And it's always interesting where someone comes in, they're like, I do this, I've been doing this for, and you hear a lot of negative tone to begin with. And that's where a lot of times those people, I'll turn off the screen. They're like, wait, I want to see where the ball goes. I'm like, yeah, we'll get to that. We got a couple things we need to change. We need to get you out of being worried about hitting golf shots because you're not ready to see that ball flight just yet. Like, you need to accept that there's a couple other things we need to do first. And they're like, okay, I've never had a lesson like this. Or I'll bring out foam balls. And they'd be like, whoa, what about the real balls? I'm like, oh, we'll get to that. That's like bonus. You know, we got to do a couple things first. And they're like, okay, this is really weird. But this is learning, right? I always talk about the analogy I give people is when you're driving a car, you wouldn't drive at full speed in rush hour to try and learn something new or drive in a race car. You do it at a really slow and an empty parking lot. That's what we're doing right now.
Yeah, and I would just say, I think a lot of people who don't have a growth mindset when they come in for a lesson, they just don't really have a growth mindset just in their general everyday life, right? I think some people are okay with that, you know, and our job, I think, is to maybe try to guide them to be open to have a growth mindset while still being yourself, like sort of the last one.
Yeah, getting better at golf is a growth thing. It's a learning thing. It's not a, I'm going to say something and you're going to be better at golf. So you have to have a growth mindset. Work on one thing at a time is number 11.
I think this is the hardest one for people, and even sometimes even us as coaches, you know, at times. But I think the more experience you get as a coach, the more important, you know, working on one thing at a time is a massive key for people's long-term success. And I think we're always trying to find, especially for new students, the one or two big things that is going to make a massive change for them, and then find the one thing that they can go work on that maybe affects both, and then you just build the plan out from there.
Yeah, I agree. And when I first started coaching, that was the hardest thing for me. Not that I had all the knowledge back then, but it was like I felt like I had all the stuff that I wanted to give to the student, and it was like, no, man, that's way too much. Just work on one thing, solidify that, and then once you're doing that, then you can move to the next thing.
Number 12, accept that you may hit it a little worse for a while.
Yeah, and again, this goes into if it's a bigger pattern change, there's sometimes two or three layers of what you need to work on until they all combine together and you're going to be hitting the ball, you know, better than they were before. But you need to be comfortable, and that's why I like foam balls. I know we've chatted about this in the past, because you're less worried about flushing in the middle of the club face and where'd that ball go and where did it finish up, because we haven't layered the next part in there yet.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we've talked about this in previous podcasts about, you know, getting better in a lesson. And I think there are different versions of getting better, right? And I'll tell people all the time, you can make a terrible golf swing and hit a perfect golf shot. And you can make a great golf swing and miss the golf ball. I think that's why we love and hate this sport almost at the same time, right? Is we can do a lot wrong and get a great outcome. So sometimes maybe it's a little worse for a while, but it doesn't mean it got worse.
Yep. Two left. Number 13, stay in touch with your coach because they care. So message your coach after the lesson. Stay in touch.
Say this to everybody that I coach, whether it's in person or online. I want as many messages that you send me, you know, as possible. Like, it shouldn't be me reaching out to you.
Yes.
Right. To see where you're at. If that is the case, then I, as a coach, am not going to invest all of my effort in you as a player. I'm going to invest the effort in the people that I'm getting those messages from.
Yeah. I had an in-person student that I finally messaged because I was like, hey man, haven't seen the drills. How's it going? And he's like, I just feel bad. I haven't been playing that great. Isn't that all more a reason to send me the drills? And of course, he sends me the drills, not doing the drills properly. I'm like, hey, if you'd only just reached out to me, I could have helped you sooner, because that's a part of what I want. I want some feedback in between the lessons so that you keep going and getting better.
Yeah, I tell people I'd rather bump them back on the road than have them just continue to veer further offline.
That's
longer
right.
And longer.
Yep.
Last one, be willing to exaggerate.
This is, you guys know, obviously, I came down and took a lesson with Gears, and it was awesome. Unbelievable. It was so cool to get on that thing. And you were like, okay, exaggerate, you know, pushing your right hip back a little bit more. I'm like, okay, sounds good. And I almost fell over. And it's like, okay, perfect. I can go backwards. Like, you can always go further one way and then go the other way. I think people are just too apprehensive of like, that feels so awkward. I couldn't hit that. You're probably closer to where you want with that awkward feel than not. So be comfortable with that.
I think being willing to exaggerate goes back to, you got to slow down. You got to be patient. And anytime somebody goes too fast, they never exaggerate, right? They feel like they exaggerate, but they never do, regardless of what it is you're trying to do. So you have to go slow. If it doesn't just feel completely wrong, then you have not exaggerated enough, and you need to keep exaggerating slow enough, long enough, until you don't have to do that anymore.
It's got to feel weird, or it's probably not that different.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You know, once again, I love this list. I love this discussion. I hope a lot of people got a lot of value out of this. Again, just want to thank everybody for listening. We'll see you next time.
And remember, you can find us on all socials at The Spin Access and online at thespinaccess.com.
Thanks.